The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Conversaciones honestas sobre lo que sentimos, callamos, y estamos aprendiendo a soltar. Hi everyone, welcome back to my podcast. Today, I have a very special guest with me. It's my mom, and we are going to be talking about her story, her moving into the States, and how her life was like back in Mexico. So let's get right into it. We're going to start off, I'm going to hand over the mic to her, and she's going to introduce herself and talk about where she lives today, what she does for work, and we will get right into her story.
Hello, everybody. My name is Eminem. I live in Brentwood, California, and I'm an eligibility worker for the city and county of San Francisco.
All right. So, first question is, what's something about you people wouldn't expect just from hearing immigrant story?
I think that something people wouldn't expect or wouldn't know about me when they see an immigrant is that I am a homeowner, U.S. citizen, and I speak English.
Yes. All right, we're going to dive in to what was life like where you grew up, and tell us the state, the city, and just feel free to go into as many details as possible.
So I grew up in a little town in Mexico called Romita, Guanajuato. It's in the south center of Mexico. And back when I was growing up, it was a smaller city, town, peaceful, no big things happening. My dad had a business, and I grew up seeing him there in his business and seeing how he always helped people. Whoever like needed help and came to him, he will always like be, I don't know, the first one to like help and give them whatever they needed. So that's how I grew up. I grew up with, well, I'm number 7 of 8 siblings. So it was a full house. It was a typical Mexican household where the older sibling will take care of the younger sibling. So my sister, who's 10 years older than me, was basically the one who raised me. I learned everything from her, including fighting. riding a bike. I would spend all day with her. So yeah, that was how it was.
While you lived in Romita, what did a normal day look like for you growing up?
From what I remember going, I don't know, to school in the morning. Sometimes my mom will take me, sometimes people who work with my dad at the carniceria will take me to school or pick me up sometimes. And then I will come home and just sit down there. I would love to sit down there in the carniceria and just watch everything happening. All the people waiting to get their meat. Then Sundays we'll go to church, come back home. Maybe go to the plaza and just walk around.
When you and your family decided to come to the States, what led to that decision to move over here? Because like you said, you guys had a carniceria. And what, if you're willing to share, made you guys change your mind onto packing up your things and starting a new life?
I think it wasn't a decision that was made one day. My dad, again, typical Mexican household, dysfunctional family. My dad was an alcoholic. He didn't manage his money correctly. So he went bankrupt. He owed a lot of money. So my older brother came I think when he was 17 or something, to start working and help them pay everything they had to pay. And then that didn't work for a year. So then my sister moved the one who was taking care of me. So she came over a year later. And between them two, they helped them pay, I guess, as best as they could. But I don't know. Then the other brother came. Then my sister got married and she came. Until it was just me and my other sister by ourselves. So we had no choice but to come.
How did you feel about having to leave your life and starting a new one?
It was like a 50-50. 50% of me wanted to come, want to like leave everything that was happening behind. And the other half didn't want to come. I love Mexico. I don't think I would have ever left if it wasn't necessary. So yeah, one day I'll go back.
When you had to come, you said it was just you and your sister. How was your journey traveling to the States? Did you come alone? Did your brothers come back for you and walk you, like come with you? Or?
Yep. So when they finally decided, because it was just me and my sister and my dad, but he was not doing good. He was always drunk. So my brother came to get us. And so he spent a month or so down there. And then the three of us came. We flew from Guanajuato to Tijuana. And then at Tijuana, there was a lady who was gonna cross us over, I guess. So we gathered in the morning. We stayed at her house all day, and around 10 o'clock at night, we headed over to the border. I remember clearly it was a full moon. I was wearing gray sweats, and the coyote was really mad at me because I wasn't wearing anything dark. Because of the full moon, my gray sweats, they literally glowed in the dark. So he was mad. They didn't tell us to bring anything. We didn't have any water. We didn't have any food. All they were saying was, all you have to do is just walk over a cerro, you know, just one little hill and that's it. And we started walking around 10:30, and we didn't stop walking for like a day and a half. I think we left, we started walking Monday night. We walk all night, all day the following day. So that was Monday night. Tuesday morning, and we're supposed to catch the last bus in San Diego at 8:15. Like I said, we didn't have any water, we didn't have any food. So the coyote gave us his food and his water. And he was drinking vodka. And that's how he made it. And I guess he had a little too much to drink, so he got lost, and he had us walking in circles for I don't know how long, until he like stopped and realized. And we missed our bus. So we had to sleep on the side of the freeway that Monday night. So we caught the bus early morning around 6 or something. And then that bus took us to the house in San Diego, whatever we stayed. So they just gave us whatever used clothes they had right there. We showered, changed, and they took us to the airport. We took the plane around 2 o'clock, and we landed in Oakland a couple hours, or maybe an hour later or something. And that was it.
That's crazy. Can you imagine myself walking all night, all day? through a small little hill, 12 years old. That's a lot for a 12-year-old to have to go through. So when you arrived to San Diego, or Oakland, whatever, whichever, what was your first impression of the States and this new area and country you were in?
When I got to San Diego, I used to watch Los Años Maravillosos, Wonder Years. That was one of my favorite shows. And so it was just like that.
What was harder than expected when you arrived to the States?
The cultural shock, I think. The language.
How was your identity changed since moving here?
I don't know. I was 12 when I came. So I think I was just still in that stage where you're like finding out who you are. But I became more of a caretaker, I will say. Even though I was only 12 and I was maybe a month into school, they expected me to translate everything for everybody. So forms, school meetings, everything. What are they saying, Mariana? I think that was one of the biggest challenges. And
what parts of your culture have you felt like you held on to the most?
The food and the language. Done my best to not forget my language. To this day, I'm a bilingual worker, so I read, speak, write everything in Spanish and English. So, and food, I love my Mexican food. I think that the value for family, you know, like just the caring for people, that's something I feel like it's very cultural and I value it a lot. And I appreciate that we kind of take care of each other.
I agree 100%. From your journey to the States, what is something that you're the most proud of?
One of the things I'm most proud of is that I didn't fall into the stereotypes. People here, they see you and they say, oh, she's Mexican, she's Latina, she's Hispanic. She's probably, I don't know, the drug dealer, she's a teen mom, or almost a teen mom, but a couple months. I think we've worked pretty hard to make a difference. Mm-hmm. To make a difference and not be part of the stereotypes, you know, like gangbanger or like, I don't know, drug dealer or like in drugs or anything like that. I think one of the things that I got from my dad was he valued education a lot. So reading was one of his biggest things. And that's, I like books and reading and educating myself. So
what do you wish more people understood about immigrants? And what does home mean to you now?
One of the things that I wish people understood more about immigrants is that not everybody's an immigrant, or everybody's an immigrant. We, Mexican, Central American, South American, even Canadians, and obviously Native Americans, we've been here for thousands of years. So we're probably just moving up and down in our continent. We're not, America is not a country, it's a continent. And I wish people understood that we're not the real immigrants, we're not the wetbacks, we did not cross an ocean to get here. We did not come here and took over land that didn't belong to us. We didn't kill people to have what we have. And we didn't impose religion or beliefs or languages or culture onto like anybody. I feel like people should be more educated about immigration and the real history, not what colonizers are trying to tell us. And home now, I think home is your family, is your loved ones. Whatever I am with you guys, that's home and I love it.
Once again, that was my mom. I just want to thank her for opening up and sharing her story. And I hope that whoever is listening also hears and understands and realizes the history, but also all the hardship that one has to go through to come here to start a new life, come from nothing. And now her first daughter is graduating with a BSN. Thank you very much. We are just here to do better for us and our children. And I don't think that that should ever be something that people should be angry about. So once again, thank you, mommy, for joining me on my podcast. And thank you. Bye.